Right, we're in Psalm 70, one of the shortest psalms in the book. But let's begin by reading it. O God, hasten to deliver me. O Lord, hasten to my help. Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be turned back because of their shame, who say, Ah, ah. Let those who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let those who love thy salvation say continually, Let God be magnified. But I am afflicted, needy. Hasten to me, O God, for thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. This brief psalm, from this brief psalm, I'd just like to make 4 points. And those are this. This is a prayer, a plea to God to act in space and time and to act speedily. This is a prayer or a plea to God to put evil to shame and that it would be humiliated. This is a prayer or a plea to God from the humble and the needy. Finally, this is a prayer or a plea to God that results in God being magnified. Just 4 brief points. So first of all, this is a prayer or a plea to God to act in space and time and to act speedily or quickly. Let's start tonight by noticing that David asked God to act quickly. This plea begins in this psalm with verse 1, when David says, Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me. And it closes with, O Lord, do not delay. When David prayed in this way, he was clearly asking God to act in such a way that would affect space and time. As he prayed, he needed help at some critical point in his life. Now, a lawyer in a legal contract might say this is a time is of the essence clause. For example, the final payment due on the first day of December by midnight is a time is of the essence clause. It's a legal term. Time can be critical. Even in legal documents, time is of the essence. Now, our humorist will tell you that the key to a good joke is timing. Have you heard about the drummer who kept such poor time that he threw himself behind a train? Or how about the wife who got so mad at her husband that she packed his bags and told him to get out? And as he walked to the door, she yelled, I hope you die a long, slow, painful death. At that point, he turned around and said, So now you want me to stay? Or what part of punctuality makes the Chinese happy? Timing. It reads better than it says, timing. Oh, anyway. Now, a contract is void if the time of the essence clause is not met. Humor is ruined if he gets bogged down in details. Timing is everything. Well timed. David was not a deist. He continually asked God to act in his world, in the world of Palestine. He asked God to act during the events of his life. He needed God to act speedily since he was repeatedly in desperate straits. Deism, as you know, is the contention that God set the world in motion, then went off to see how things played out. If we behaved well, things would go well. If we behaved poorly, things would turn out poorly. But God was out of the picture completely. In the days of America's founding, deists such as Thomas Jefferson vehemently contended that God did not interfere in the acts enacted in the earth, especially in regard to men's prayers. Evangelical Christians in his day resolutely stood against deism. If there ever was a founding sin in the history of the United States, it was this belief in deism. Now, George Washington, just by the way, loathed deism and firmly resisted it. But I repeat to you tonight that David was not a deist. He continually prayed about the events of his life, that God would intervene, and sometimes speedily. Do you believe that God acts? I know you do. Does He act in relationship to our time? I know you believe that. Church history is replete with men and women praying to God that He would act and act speedily. When the English looked across the channel and observed the events of the French Revolution in the 1700s, they prayed desperate prayers. And God acted, sending the Great Awakening to Britain through men like Whitfield and Wesley. Catastrophe was avoided. God acted, and He acted speedily. Now, in the book, A Thousand Miles of Miracles by A.E. Glover, anybody have that in their library? It is the account of one man's family escape from the Boxer Revolution in China in the early 1900s. God continually acted on their behalf. The plea, "O Lord, do not delay," was answered in time and space and across a 1,000-mile journey. Reese Howe's Intercessor, a book by Norman Grubb, recounts God's entering into the 20th century as He answered prayers of a group of prayer warriors as they prayed over the events of World War II. Anybody know this book? Does God enter into our day and our time? He does. God listens when we plead with Him not to delay. Hurry. This is a prayer to God that God would put evil to shame and be humiliated. You will notice the word shame or humiliation is repeated in this psalm, verses 2 through 3. Let those be ashamed and humiliated who seek my life. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be turned back because of their shame, who say, "Ah, ah." When God acts decisively in the earth, evil must in humiliation and shame withdraw at its own defeat. David is praying that his enemies and evil would be embarrassed and dishonored, that they might be made odious in disappointment and failure. In our day, evil runs rampant. Evil is proud and haughty. It struts the streets. Liars lie unabashedly with a straight face. There is no dishonor or embarrassment in their sinfulness. There was a time when evil hid itself, not today. Today our children are under constant attack. Even Disney cartoons are laced with suggestions that evil, such as homosexuality, is okay and is even something to be proud about. The idea that one would be caught stealing a generation ago would bring great shame. Lying and cheating has now gone from the back alleys to Main Street. Our prayers in this day should be asking God to rectify the baseness of our society. We should be seeking our God that His enemies would be defeated and thoroughly shamed. Thoroughly shamed. This is a prayer or plea to God that from the humble and the needy. David, as he prays, is clear about his ability to rescue himself. He has no such ability. He needs God's help. I am poor and needy. Make haste to help me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Verse 5. David was often in a situation that if God didn't help him, he would go unhelped. David was often in a situation that if God didn't help him, he would face catastrophe. He was often faced with tragedy. Sometimes he brought these evils on himself. But other times, he was not guilty. But one way or the other, David never pretended to be able to get through life without God. Have you ever just thought, I don't know how lost people do it? I don't know how they get up in the morning. God, for David, was a God who acted in space and time on behalf of those who sought Him. God answers prayer. As George Mueller once wrote, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk. I pray as I lie down, when I rise. And the answers are always coming. 10,000s of times have my prayers been answered. Once I am persuaded that a thing is right, I pray for it. The great point is to never give up until the answer comes. The great fault of the children of God is that they do not continue in prayer. They do not persevere. If they desire anything for God's glory, they should pray until they get it. This is a prayer or plea that God would be magnified. This brings us to that final point. As Mueller said, if they desire anything for God's glory, they should pray until they get it. Tonight's psalm has it as well. Let all those who seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. There is no joy like the joy of having a prayer answered by God Himself. And I'm going to reiterate that. There is no joy like that one thing. Oh, how the children of God rejoice when their enemies are swept up into the Red Sea. Pharaoh and all of his horsemen were covered in an instant, and the powers of sin were humiliated in defeat. Israel's history is salt and peppered with such accounts. They're not rare as we read the Old Testament. God acted in behalf of His people when they prayed, Lord, help us. Help us speedily. Somehow in our day, we have sought to win our arguments against sinfulness with words. This is the church at its weakest. Would we throw ourselves before God and say, Lord, enter into our battles, hurry, or we'll be defeated? This is the church at its strongest. It is when we feel most helpless that we are closest to great victory and great joy when God answers our prayers. It is then that God is magnified and gets great glory. Sorrow is turned to joy. Defeat is turned to victory. Psalm 50, verse 15, puts it succinctly. It's become one of my favorite texts. Call upon me in the day of trouble, you might say, in the time of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Would you like God to get glory? It's simple. Call upon Him in the day of trouble, in the time of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Do we really want to live in a day of trouble? Do we? We live in a day of trouble, and we don't like it. It is very difficult for Liebeth and I to sit at the kitchen table in the mornings and not start bellyaching about the news. We don't like the day of trouble that we live in. We would rather live in the good old days when evil hid itself and cartoons could be trusted not to defile our children. But that is not our day or time. When we talk about God answering prayers and George Mueller's constant stream of prayer, we forget that Mueller was in constant need. David wrote, "I am poor and needy." The first century Christians triumphed when Rome, the Roman Empire, was awash with blatant iniquity. This is the day that we live in. We could either see it as an opportunity to pray and glorify God, or we could say with the church of the Laodicea, "I'm rich and have become wealthy and need of nothing." Would Christians rather be rich, politically powerful, and thought of as healthy, wealthy, and wise, and not need answered prayer? This is our time. We began this evening with thoughts of God's timing. We are not granted the luxury of picking the day in which we live. The church in the West is in decline. We should face it and repent, then turn and embrace the life of prayer. O God, hasten to deliver me. Hasten to my help. O Lord, do not delay. Now, this could be made very personal in our own life. Do you feel the need for God moment by moment? I need thee every hour. Maybe we could sing that in a minute, Steve. Could we do that? Do you feel as if you don't need Him? If you do, you're deceived. It is those who need God, those who are poor and needy, whom God answers, whom God hears and answers. We need Him for the smallest things. The moment we think I'm mature and don't need Him, I'm a mature Christian and don't need Him, is the moment we fail. We often see spiritual maturity as not needing God's help. I'm a strong Christian. David said, "I am poor and needy." Time is of the essence. Now, speaking of time, I'm finished so early. But we could sing a hymn. But let's pray. Father, the Scripture says where two or more are gathered together and seek You, You hear. Father, we seek You now for the church in America. Lord, do not delay. Come to our aid. Help us, Lord. If You do not help us, failure is sure. We ask you to humiliate the enemy in defeat and in shame. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.